This line is burning, turning to ashes. It hits the earth. Every step is a day in the week. It's a Sunday or Monday, March all the months away.
Welcome to Nosecast. Homilies delivered in the Holy Gnosis of Thomas Chapel, the Ecclesia Gnostica, in Salt Lake City, Utah, by the Reverend Troy Pierce. Today, we approach the mystery of Christ. Just as we do every service. Just as we do in our lives constantly. In our modern world, we are some decades into quests and considerations and debates about the historical Christ. Who was this figure? And about all that we can say for certainty is that the historical Christ is something of a Rorschach test, something of a mirror. You look and you see yourself in some way. There are books on these shelves that see Christ so many different ways. These are all modern. How many more ways are ancient? The Gospel for today is from Thomas, and it reflects a canonical Gospel. That one, Jesus asked the disciples to say who he is. Who do the people say that I am? And they say, oh, like Elias or one of the prophets of old, come back. And then he says, but who do you say that I am? And in this canonical version, it is Peter who answers, you are Christ, Son of God. And Jesus says, you could not have known this any other way, save from the Father. In the account in the Gospel of Thomas, Jesus asks the disciples to say, who I am like, to give a simile, a metaphor. Description. And Simon Peter says, you are like a righteous angel. An angel means messenger. So this can be seen as being a divine being or as being a messenger of the divine. And we see Christ in this way. As a deliverer of a message, of one who conveys gnosis to us, sacraments and means of liberation. That is not all. Matthew responds and says, you are like a wise man of understanding. And this is the most frequent modern understanding of Jesus. Is a wise man, someone whose teaching might be of use to us in the world today. And certainly this reflects a Gnostic understanding as well. There is great wisdom. There is depth of wisdom. The teachings and sayings of the Lord. That we cannot plumb the depths of them. Such a book as the Gospel of Thomas can be reread and reread, and every time we come to it, we can gain insight and wisdom, because while it has not changed, we have. And it has a kind of depth, a kind of wisdom, that we must grow to see more of. But Thomas says, my mouth can in no way say whom you are like. And this is the most Gnostic of all, because it represents gnosis, not episteme. It is an acquaintance with, a knowing of, a having an experience of Jesus that cannot be put into words. It cannot be encapsulated in one form or another form. There are many titles for Jesus, for Christ. And every one of these titles represents a different aspect, a different form, many of which stretched long before Christ. And if we put Christ into one of these only, then we have put Christ into our ideas only, and taken Christ out of our experience, out of our lives. Jesus responds to Thomas and says, I am no longer your master. You have drunk from the bubbling spring which I have measured out. And this points us to the meaning of Thomas, which means twin. And this shows us that Thomas was metaphorically a twin, symbolically a twin. That while the early Christians saw each other as brothers and sisters, there was at least one who was very close enough, Christ-like enough, that he was called the twin instead of just the brother. There may have been more. In the world today, these historical quests, and from the very beginning, people have wanted to tell us who this figure is, who Christ is. Christ is the Son of God. Christ means the anointed, and it has been given a particular meaning. Look at Messiah, Messiah, the word that is translated into Greek, Christ, the Anointed One, and its tradition in Judaism. Look many places very deeply and be told who this figure is. Be told theologically, be told historically, we can be told mythologically. The movement today to discount any possible historical Christ, any possible historical Jesus. To say that since the stories follow mythic forms, that there must have been only a myth. Of course, you lay out this logic, it's very flawed. From it you can discern that many historical figures that we have other records for purely myth. There is more to it than that. And the more to it is the Gnostic experience of Christ. Gnosticism really doesn't focus on anything other than the living Christ. Christ post-resurrection. The experience of the divine in the form of Christ to individuals. Their individual spiritual experience, their gnosis. There are descriptions that are abstract, that are allegorical, mythical. As far as teachings go, as far as the importance placed on the appearance of Christ in Gnostic scriptures, it is this living Christ, post-resurrection Christ. And this is not a Jesus in the flesh popping up all over the place, but an inner experience, experience of the divine. If we look to very origins of Christianity, we see this clearly. The stories that we have are of a man who taught, who carried out a number of symbolic actions, left much behind, and who was executed. But that wasn't the end of the story. For the story continues to Mary Magdalene, who had an experience of Christ, and who then gathered the disciples together to tell them of this. In our considerations of religion, we have a tendency to make them abstract, to remove human experience from them, not only our own, but the human experience of those involved in the founding, involved in the history, in the mythology, in the sacred stories. And if we can enter into the experience of these individuals in any way, we can have a taste of the disappointment and of the sorrow of the crucifixion. The ending of this movement by the world, as far as the world was concerned. Execute the leader, execute the teacher, should be gone. And in all the accounts, the disciples don't come off very good. They run away. They recant. However, Mary is there. And this experience she has, the Easter morning experience, is the beginning of Christianity. It is that experience of Christ. If that had not occurred, then Christ would be a righteous messenger, a wise man of understanding. He would still be of great importance to Gnostics, as someone showing us the way to liberation, showing us the path of Gnosis. But there wouldn't be all of this hullabaloo around here. He wouldn't be celebrating a Eucharist in his name. It is that experience and its continued presence that brings us here to this form today. The presence of Christ in the sacramental form, stretching back in a very simpler form, Christ, with antecedents stretching before it. If we look at Christ theologically, mentally, abstractly, objectively, then we can come up with a number of answers. None of them will satisfy us. None of them is complete. This has been an issue for a couple thousand years now, and apparently it doesn't seem to be close to being resolved, so maybe we should just live with the mystery. At least we could convince our fundamentalist brothers and sisters of that. Life would be so much nicer. Because Christ is a mystery. Not the Agatha Christie kind. There's some who look at the historical Jesus, frame it. But mysterion. Mystery, the sacrament, that which is sacred, that which is to be experienced, has its root, mystery, in being initiated in the experience of the mystery schools, the mystery religions. It's all about what we experience, how we are transformed, what we become. All the rest around Christ are stories. They are ways of understanding, different ways of framing this experience. A lot of them are familiar. Dying and rising God, Messiah, an apocalyptic preacher. All these different stories and forms. Say that any of them are wrong, but none of them are complete. None of them can shove the others off the shelf and proclaim to be the one true story. And try to do that, we miss the experience. We miss Christ. So as Gnostics, we know that we cannot put the question off onto an authority, onto an historical council, onto a theologian somewhere. But we ourselves must answer, who do you say that I am? And not just answer it once and be done with it, as nice as that may seem at times. To answer it continually. To answer it not just in words, but in our lives and our actions. For this is the path of Christianity. This mystery of Christ. It's not a simple way. Not an easy task. Not a set of rules that are made very difficult for apparently, God knows why. But a living out of an experience and a mystery. For we are mysteries ourselves. We cannot know one another in some simple way. How can we know Christ in some simple way? In the beginning to know Christ, beginning to experience, we experience something of the deep mystery of ourselves and the deep mystery of one another. And we grow in gnosis and follow the path to liberation. May the mystery of that which hangs fixed heavenly descend upon us.
More information and resources on Gnosticism, visit the Gnosis Archive at gnosis.org. That's G-N-O-S-I-S dot O-R-G.